All right, well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 15. And tonight, I'm going to share on the how of receiving from God. The how of receiving. And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, the first thing that we need to know when it comes to receiving anything from God is we first have to know what's available, right? So we have to know what from God's word is available to us before we can ask God for it. I can ask God to give me x-ray vision, but that's probably not going to happen because nowhere in the word does it say that that's available. So we got to know what's available. And the way that we know what's available is we have to study his word, right? And that's why it's important that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. We've got to know what the word says so that we can know what's available. Go to Philippians chapter 4. If you don't know what's available, then you either don't know what to ask for, or you might be asking for things that aren't available. And we're going to look at just a couple examples here in Philippians 4 of things that God's word says is available, just as a sample. Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So that's in his word. And by reading that and studying that and understanding that, we now know that it's available to have all of our needs supplied. So if there's something that we need to live our life, like food or water or shelter or clothing, God promises in his word that if we go to him with those needs, he will supply them. He will find a way to get those needs met for us. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So from these two verses, we know that it's available for us to have peace. That if we're worried or we're anxious, that with God, we can go to him and we will find peace when we request it. So, can I receive peace from God? How do we know? We just said so, right? We just saw it. We studied it, we saw it, and now we know that that's available. Can I receive whatever it is that I need to live life? Yeah, because God said he would supply it for us. That's how we know. We go to his word. Go to Mark chapter 11. So God wants us to study and to know his word so that we can know what's available. And once we know what's available, then we can begin to receive it. I'm going to use an analogy throughout this teaching. What happens if I need to go, I need an oil change for my car? Okay, that's going to be the analogy I'm going to use tonight. If I need an oil change for my car, what if I go to my local dentist for that oil change? I'm going to pull up in front of my dentist's office, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to say, "Dr. Lovac, I need my oil changed." Do you think that Dr. Lovac is going to change my oil? I don't think so. It's not available. That's not the right place to go. Did not know what was available from Dr. Lovac. Oil change was not it. So we got to know what's available. Mark 11, verse 23, it says, and this is Jesus Christ teaching his disciples, he said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them." So in these two verses, we see a couple other keys to receiving. The first is that in order to receive, we have to believe, right? And that's what it says in both verses, actually. You should believe in your heart. Verse 24, it says, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them." So we've got to believe that we're going to get them, okay? So I realize Dr. Lovac's not going to change my oil. So I go to my mechanic. Well, at least I'm at the right place. Now, do I believe the mechanic has the skills necessary to change my oil? If I don't believe that, I'm going to drive away and I'm not going to get my oil changed. But I need to believe that he has the skills to do it, and then I'll be on my way. The second key is that we cannot let doubt or fear creep in, right? And it says again in verse 23, "and shall not doubt in his heart." And fear is just another form of doubt. It's just a more extreme form of doubt. So we can't let fear or doubt creep in, because that takes the place of our believing. Right? Once we start to doubt or fear, then we are no longer believing that it's available. If I start having doubts that my mechanic's not trained to change oil, maybe he can only do suspensions, or I doubt that it's available, or maybe I think, like, I don't know, he hasn't done one in a while. What happens if he screws it up? Maybe this isn't a good idea. All of that's going to stand in the way of me getting my oil changed. Or maybe I'm scared because I haven't had my oil changed in like 20,000 miles, and that's really horrible. I should be doing it more frequently. And maybe my mechanic is going to yell at me when I go in there to have my oil changed. Right? Maybe I start to get afraid that that's what's going to happen. Then I might turn my car around and not get my oil changed. And that'll even be worse. And I'll start to go on 30,000 miles. All those things would prevent me from getting my oil changed. The third thing that we have to do is we have to ask. And it sounds kind of silly and simple, but if you want to receive anything, you've got to ask for it. I can't just pull up in front of the mechanic and sit in my car and hope he comes out and changes my oil. I'll be sitting there for a while. Right? I've got to go in and I've got to talk to him and I've got to say, "Hey, can you please change my oil?" Right? I've got to ask. And that's again in verse 24, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray," and when you pray, you're asking God for something, right? You're making a request of him. So you've got to ask for it. And it sounds really stupid and simple, but that's part of receiving. You've got to be willing to ask for it. Go to Philippians chapter 2. So if we don't ask God for stuff, we shouldn't expect to receive it. Got to know what's available. We got to believe he can do it. We can't let doubt or fear creep in. And then we have to ask him. That's what gets the ball rolling. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you." He's at work in you. "Both to will," that's to want to, "and to do," to carry it out, "of his good pleasure." God is at work in you to both want to and to carry out his good pleasure, the things that he wants for your life. And verse 14 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings," which is a great follow-up to that verse. God is at work in you to want to and to carry out the things don't argue about it. Don't dispute it. Don't murmur about it. Don't argue about those things, right? If I go to my oil mechanic and he says that's going to be $45, and I say, no way, I'm not paying you to do this, then I'm not going to get my oil changed. If I start arguing with him about it, then the job's not going to get done. So if God says, all right, you know, here's how you're going to receive that thing, and you say, well, no, that's not really going to happen. I can't do that. That's not possible. Well, then you're not going to receive it, right? You say, God, I really need a new job. And God's like, okay, cool. You need to go to such and such a place and talk to this person and apply to it, right? He gives you information, and you go, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I need. That's not the job I want. That's not for me. Well, then you're not going to receive it, right? God's trying to give you an answer to your prayer, and you argue, well, then you're not going to receive it. So we don't want to argue. God is at work in you. Carry it out, right? Don't argue with him. 1 Peter chapter 5. And it sounds really simple, but sometimes we do that, right? Sometimes we get that thought. Sometimes God gives us this idea and this inspiration, and we go, I don't think I want to do that. Or that's not really... That's a stupid idea. I'm not doing that. And we trick ourselves into thinking like we thought of that stupid idea, right? But is it God at work in you? Well, then go do it, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Right? And that's where that verse sets in that context of being humble, and that it will be God who exalts you. So, another key to receiving is that we should be humble and not proud, not to let pride get in the way. God wants to help. He cares for you, right? He cares about you. So don't try to figure it out yourself. If you want to receive something from God and you're asking God for help, and then as soon as you're done praying, you start going through all the different ways you think you can get it done, right? Are you letting God work in that situation? No. You're trying to figure it out for yourself, right? And that happens to me all of the time, right? So, but that's a habit that we need to change in our lives if we want to receive stuff from God. We're going to ask God for help, then we need to believe he's going to give us an answer. We need to obey that answer when we get it, and we need to stop trying to figure out how we're going to do it ourselves. I don't jump out of the car and grab the wrench out of the mechanic's hand and start loosening every bolt I see. He knows what he's doing. Let him change the oil and it'll get done. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Again, this is Jesus Christ teaching, but he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, when something is given unto you, what did you do? You received it. So, one of the keys to receiving is to give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and you shall receive. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And Jesus Christ said somewhere else that it is better to give than to receive. So one of the things that we can do to energize our receiving is to give. To give. To look for ways to give back to other people. Right? And that opens the door for God to bless you. He teaches specifically about this in Malachi chapter 3. So Luke, Mark, Matthew, going backwards, right after the New Testament begins, is Malachi. Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Right? And this was God's instruction during that administration to his people, was to give 10% of their increase. Now, God doesn't need the meat or the vegetables or anything else, right? That wasn't the point of it. But the point was to allow them to give them a vehicle to give. And that's what we do with our abundant sharing, right? We give our money, a portion of what we earn, to the ministry so that they can do certain things, like events and other things, right? But all of that is with the heart of we're giving to God. Yeah? So when we abundantly share, that's a form of giving. And it opens up the door so that we can receive. And God's promise to them was that if they gave 10%, that he would open up the windows of heaven such that this blessing would be so big that they wouldn't be able to receive it. Right? That they would just have their needs met, that they would have the things that they need because their heart was to give. And that's what God cares about for us, is what's our heart? Is our heart to give? Well, that energizes our receiving. Go to James chapter 1. In the analogy, if I don't give the mechanic my money, he's not going to do the job, right? There's a giving and there's a receiving. James chapter 1. So as we give, we open up the door for God to bless us back and to receive. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Right? And that verse tells us we don't want to just hear the word and go, yeah, okay, that sounds good. We want to take action on it. We want to act out on the things that the word of God says. So we need to take action toward receiving. We need to take action towards the receiving. If God gives us instruction, then we go and we act out on it, right? Part of our believing is to take action on it, to expect to receive, right? We want to act as though that thing is coming to pass. Right? If I never drove to the mechanic and I sat in bed all day, I wouldn't be taking action towards getting that thing taken care of. Right? So we've got to take action. And a really cool record of this is in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And that's really what it is to have believing. To walk by faith is to take action before you see the result. To trust that the answer is going to be there. In Mark chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And he," Jesus, "entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him." This is speaking of like the Pharisees or Sadducees. "They watched Jesus Christ, whether he would heal him," the guy with the withered hand, "on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him." So they were looking for a way to trap him. because you weren't supposed to be doing work on the Sabbath day. And they say, well, if you heals this guy with the withered hand, well, he can't be all that religious. Verse 3, and he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth, stand up. And he said unto them, to all the people there looking to accuse him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? Right? What's the law say about the Sabbath day? Should I do something good or should I do something evil? It's a very good rhetorical question. And he follows it up with another rhetorical question. Should I be saving life or should I be killing on the Sabbath? What do you think is better? But they held their peace, right? They understood the questions, what he was getting at, that obviously we want to do good on the Sabbath day. Obviously, we would want to save people's lives. But they were looking for a way to trap him. So they said nothing. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. So he turns to the guy with the withered hand. You know, it's all kind of bent up and crippled looking, maybe like a little claw like this. And he says, stretch forth your hand. Now, obviously, if this guy's hand is stuck like this, he hasn't been doing much with it. He has not been stretching it forth and grabbing things and using it. That was his ailment. His hand was withered. But Jesus Christ said, stretch it forth. So now this guy's got to decide whether Jesus Christ is telling him, he's going to act on what Jesus Christ is telling him, or he's going to say, well, that's crazy, I can't move my hand. That's the whole problem here, buddy. Stretch forth thine hand, it says, and he stretched it out. And his hand was restored whole as the other. It does not say his hand was restored, so he stretched it out. Right? That is not the order of that verse. That would be cool. If Jesus Christ said, stretch forth your hand, and all of a sudden the guy's hand was like, ooh, and he was like, I can do it. But he said, stretch forth your hand, and the guy acted on those words. He believed that it was possible, and then he stretched it forth. And after he stretched it forth, it was restored whole like the other. He received the full deliverance. He received the results of his action. He didn't wait for the results to happen and then acted on it. He said, okay, I'm stretching it forth. And then it was healed and functioning like the other. Right? And so that's what it is to take action. If we want to receive, we've got to act out on it. Even if the circumstances say, well, that's impossible, right? But with God, all things are possible. So we want to act out on what God tells us to do as part of the receiving. If we don't, then we might not get the results we're looking for. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. So if you want to receive something from God, go through this list. Ensure that these are the things that you're doing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint where?
In your
In your minds. In your minds. And so another key to receiving is to not faint in our minds and to not give up if we don't have the result that we're expecting the moment we think we should. Right? We have to be patient. We have to be patient. We can't faint and give up. Right? We'll reap in due time if we don't faint. Right? God isn't late. Right? Sometimes we have a schedule that we want God to be on, but God isn't late. Right? And we have to learn how to wait for Him and keep trusting. Right? If I go to the mechanic and he drains out all my oil in the first 10 minutes and I'm like, well, 10 minutes is all I got, and I drive that car away, it's not going to last very long without any oil in it, right? I'm not going to get the results I expected. I'm going to get a broken down car. So we've got to wait until we receive exactly what it is that we asked for. And that means that sometimes we have to be patient. And we're going to close in Ephesians chapter 5. And there's lots of records in the Word of God about people who receive deliverance after a certain amount of time. Abraham's a perfect example, right? God gave him a promise of a child, and he waited a long time to see that come to pass. A very long time. Did God give him what he said he was going to give him? Did he receive that child? Yeah. But he had to wait for it. It didn't just happen the next day. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you do receive something from God, remember to give thanks. Remember to thank Him, right? If we sit there and we do all these things and we receive what we asked of God, let's be thankful. Let's give Him thanks and give Him the praise that He deserves, right? Because God is a deliverer. God will provide. And if we carry out these things, we can expect to receive. And we'll be blessed and very thankful for it.